Welcome back to another awesome episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. I'm Tom.
I'm Travis.
And we're back again on a beautiful time of recording again. Right now is March 5th. Ash Wednesday, everybody, coming up. And I say that again because remember, every Friday for the next seven Fridays, can't have red meat at all. Vegetarian and fish meals, which are nice. It kind of cleans out your system a bit. I like a good fish beer battered cod. Love that. It's always nice. But yeah, so that's what we're doing. Just to give you guys an idea, too, of what we're doing right now as a whole in the sense of recording. We record in bulk in one day just because, you know, we got our lives right now. We try to get together as much as we can, but we can only get together
what
like
are we,
once.
Costco?
As when we can, and when we get together, we just record as much as we can because we all got our lives. I got, you know, kids. Travis is a busy man with all this writing he's doing. And, you know, we all got our lives.
This is why we talk about things that are way out of date by the time they get on.
Yeah, and we are sorry about that. Our goal is to get to every day, once a day, but we'll get there one day. Let's see. Before we jump into this fun episode, here's something cool I don't think you know, Travis. Okay, this is for everyone, all the millennials out there. This is a cool thing. Hey, do you know what got released and remastered on Blu-ray recently?
Tell me.
The Digimon movie.
Oh.
You weren't into Digimon growing up? We're a year apart. You didn't ever watch it? Saturday morning cartoons? Digimon?
No.
Digimon. Digital monsters. Digimon.
Never saw one episode.
Oh, you have no idea.
I also wasn't into Pokemon, but I have at least seen a few episodes of Pokemon.
Hey, there's a difference. Hold on. There's a difference. The concept's the same. You got, you know, your trainer on Pokemon and Digimon. It was called a tamer. And then, don't laugh. And then you got your monster that was your partner. In Pokemon, when you did battle, the trainer had to say the attack moves.
Okay.
And in Digimon, it was more of just the organic bond of support a person had like with their pet. It's like a dog and his dog owner. Like it's just an inseparable bond. And so you're there supporting your monster, a digital monster, Digimon, while it fought. And the other big difference between the two is that in Pokemon, when a Pokemon defeated another Pokemon, it fainted. In Digimon, it died. It died and you consumed its digital data. Like, it's just dead.
So it was edgy Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, no. There was things on the line, dude, in Digimon. There were four seasons of that show. I watched all four. It was my jam every Saturday. But why I bring up the movie, it has recently got released on Blu-ray, remastered with remastered audio.
Ooh.
That movie was amazing. And let me explain to you why it was balls to the wall, put your nuts on the table. The movie was made up of three short films. So you had three short films. The first one was a fun little origin about the main character, Tai, and his sister, Kari.
Mm-hmm.
And how, kind of like in Pokemon, there's not just one Pikachu. There's like a million different Pikachus. So there was one, not just one Agumon, there was different ones. And just showing you a fun little backstory about how, like, yeah, this is kind of how we started off and blah, blah, blah. The third one, yeah, I'm skipping the second one because the second one's going to blow your mind, and I know it will, what it was about. Remember, this was a kid's movie, but the second one, what they did in this second little short film is like this, really? Third one.
Just grinning so hard, right?
I know. The third one was just another fun adventure of, we got to help out this Digimon, let's do it as a group, and it involved the season 2 cast. The second one, it was called Our War Games. Yes, yeah, it was playing, War Games, the movie with Matthew Broderick. So what happens is, this is when don't laugh at this, the main cast, they were called the Digi-Destin. It was like their destiny to be the, you know, help out the Digimon, save the world and all that. They find out that there's one Digimon, the main character, Tai, and his buddy, I forget his buddy's, Izzy, it was the tech dude. They find out that a Digimon is running loose on the internet. And, like, you think, like, oh, and this is back in early 2000. So he's, like, consuming the internet. You're thinking, yeah, I swear to God. Fuck you. Hold on. It gets intense. So they're like this. Okay, let's go send our Digimon, kick its butt before it, you know, destroys the internet. Really, it's just going to crash the system. But here's how it gets.
They didn't say break the internet.
They might have. It's been a while since I've watched it. I just know the beats. But here's what's crazy. This Digimon was a really well-written villain because when he realized he was being hunted through, you know, he was being hunted down, this is what he did. Not only did he go and that he fought the Digimon monsters that were sent after him, he was like this. Well, I know where the tamers are in the real world. I'm going to send a nuke. So he packs into NORAD and sends two ballistic nuclear missiles, one for Tokyo and one for Colorado, because he's like, well, they're coming after me, so I might as well stop it at the source. So you got to think about this. This is a kid's movie based off a kid's
scorched
show.
Earth.
Yes. They have to stop a nuclear holocaust within 10 minutes. Think about that for a kid's show. That's a kid's movie.
I was going to say, I really hope out of the 20 of you that are listening to this, at least one of you understands all of this and are enjoying it.
It's so, because think about it, that's a cartoon villain saying, well, I know where the people who are in charge are at, you're getting a nuke. I'm just going to solve it with a nuke. And that's awesome, right? That's a good villain.
That's insane.
It gets better. So the villain in Digimon, like Pokemon, there's these evolve moments to make them bigger and stronger. When the two main Digimon are doing that, the best part is, okay, in the show, everyone always stops. It's like, oh, he's evolving. It's like, whoa, look at that. Or the bad guy's like this. All right, bring it on. There's like, wait, you know, this gentleman agreement of you have to wait for them to evolve and then you fight again. No, the bad guy literally looks dead at the camera and says, not so fast, and just fucks them up. And so they get de-evolved back into the little scrubs they were. And you're like, oh, this is serious. Shit's going down. This villain doesn't mess around. It's a good movie. That's what it was.
Critting so
you
hard.
You have no idea how big this was for everyone watching that as kids at the time. Mm-hmm. Because there's another moment, and I'll end it with this one. When it gets into the heat of battle where the two Digimon turn into, I know the names, War Greymon and Metal Garurumon. At the time, everyone knew like, oh, when these two get on the field, bad guys lose, that's it, fuck it, we won. That boom.
Oh, okay.
Break the champagne. Like these were the...
It's like your cheat code monsters.
In a sense, and it was like basically these two heroes were the ones who were like this, suck it, we win. Like, bad guy done. No. This bad guy beats the shit out of them so much where they stop saying their special moves that they do when they're attacking each other. It just turns into a full-on fist fight. In the regular TV show, they'll say their move, right, before they do it, which will be like, you know, a big fireball or an ice ball or they'll like, you know, a rock that comes out of nowhere. But in this one, it gets so intense where the hero is like this, fuck it, throwing hands, and he starts just beating the bad guy with his fist to the face. Just like, I'm going to just sock you in the face. It's gotten that crazy because the bad guy rips off War Greymon's gauntlet. He's like, all right, fuck you, and just clocks him. Like, it was that crazy of a movie for me to watch where you're like, oh, shit, we're just fist fighting now. There's no moves, no, you know, plasma balls or missiles being fought. It's just hand-to-hand combat. I'm going to break your jaw. It was awesome. Okay, that's my thing, everybody.
So I take it you like this.
Yes, I love Digimon way more than Pokemon. Yes, right now I'm showing my youngest boys Pokemon right now, the first four seasons. And I played Pokemon Blue and Yellow on the Game Boy Color. Yeah, I said Game Boy Color because that's what she wanted. And I loved it. I wish I played Pokemon Crystal. Didn't get a chance. But Digimon was just like, those four seasons were amazing. It was amazing. Great. It was great anime, great dubbing. It was, you know, friends bonding. People died. This was Saturday morning cartoons, Channel 5, Channel 11. People were dying, man.
The good old Kids WB era.
Oh, God, it was so good. So, yeah, that's just what's happening right now. Digimon, the movie's on Blu-ray, folks. Get it. I'm waiting for my next paycheck, and I'm going to get it, because I just was like, that. It was a great fight scene. It's like, just, they were throwing hands.
So wait, you haven't actually watched the remaster yet?
Yeah, no, I haven't. Okay. I just remember.
You just remember this movie very vividly.
Yes. And the thing is, every Digimon fan will agree the Our War Games part is the best one, because one, you're showing in detail damage.
Yeah.
Like, armor being chipped. Them, like, moving in pain, dust in the... There's this one moment where the bad guy, And yes, I know the names of the moves. He says, shut up.
You just make it worse for you.
I know, so. I am. So Metal Garurumon has a special move called Howling Wolf Bite, and basically it's a barrage of missiles he shoots at the bad guy. And you're like, oh, damn. Bad guy takes it like just a slap on the chin, like means nothing. He shoots off a cannon through his chest that he calls a web wrecker. And when it hits him, when it hits Metal Garurumon, it looks like an 88 artillery round. And you're like, oh shit, where did he dead? Like, it just one hit, just dust. And you're like, oh my god. And then through the dust comes War Greymon just flying like, motherfucker, and he just clocks him. It was an intense moment. It's great as a kid because it brings back the, like, yeah, it got real. There were nukes. Millions of people's lives were on the line, man, as a kid show. Thermonuclear war.
So that's our show, everybody.
Dick.
Thanks for stopping by. Our sponsor is what exactly? Did we do that scene already? What was this episode about? This is your idea.
Okay, well, the episode...
This is your suggestion. I don't know what we were doing.
Okay, well, our sponsor for the day is actually bacon. Just so you know. Okay, yeah, bacon. Good old-fashioned bacon is our sponsor for the day. I don't need to say any more because we know bacon's great on everything. Wrapped on it. Added onto it by itself. Thick, crispy, thin. We all love bacon. I brought off something joyful because you know what? I want to talk about how hate watching has changed. And I think it's really unhealthy what's going on with what the term hate watching has become and people making money off of.
Now, and by hate watching, are you talking specifically about people making YouTube videos with thumbnails that say... Oh, this movie is woke.
Or they ruined, or no, not just that, they ruined your childhood, or James Bond has died, or, you know, George Lucas is probably crying in the corner because of what, you know, what's happening.
Star Wars is dead, but I'm still going to watch the next episode of The Acolyte and talk about how Star Wars is dead.
I'm going to get you to watch Digimon. Now, here's the thing. So hate watching, what I remember it from middle school and high school. It was a term used, you're like, oh yeah, I hate watch it, where you didn't watch it because you're just like, oh, can you believe they're doing this to our legacy characters and this IP, or can you believe they made this thing with this name title? It was more of like this, and I'm going to use a very well-known movie that everyone has hate watched, because they enjoy it. Hate watching used to mean you went and watched something knowing it was bad, but you enjoyed it to a degree. Like you had some enjoyment with it. The Fast and Furious 3, Tokyo Drift. That was a main big hate watching film at the time when we were in high school and middle school, because it was dumb as shit. It's dumb, but you enjoyed it. It was like, it wasn't the equivalent of watching a cult classic film that was bad. Like, okay, for example, The Room. It wasn't you went watching like, I'm going to watch the worst thing ever.
Is it still hate watching if you actually have fun? If you have a positive experience?
That's what the term used to mean.
Okay.
Like, I hate watched it. But I'm having fun with it. It was almost like, I know I'm watching something stupid, but brings a smile to my face watching stupidity. That's what it used to mean. Like, Workaholics was another show people hate watched. But it was like, oh, this show's so stupid, but he's in a bear tuxedo. Like, a literal bear. So it was like that. It was enjoyment of fun where you went in knowing you were watching something super dumb, poorly written, poorly executed, and all that. But there was a bit of joy in that. And you didn't want to admit, it's like begrudgingly watched it, but with fun. Now it's turned into the hate watching, which turned into what it really, the definition of what it would be. I already know ahead of time there's this Disney movie coming out. It's a live action adaptation of this classic film I loved so much as a child. But they're changing this because they're making it quote unquote over woke or destroying it for feminism. But the point is, I'm going to go see this in the theaters. Knowing I'm going to be so mad, my blood pressure is going to go through the roof with my cholesterol. Then I'm going to go home, put so much time and effort into a YouTube film to just tell you the world is going to hell. Old man yelling at the sky. And it's like...
I think the word effort is doing a lot of work there, Tom. Time, yes.
Your heart's overworking effort. It's just like, it's like that, where it's like there's no need for that. And it's like there's this big market on YouTube to hate watch. And it's like, and it's not just channels that are designated for the movie critic review. Like, for example, this guy called Critical Drinker. It's not just for that.
Oh, fuck that guy.
But no, but what I'm saying is it's not just for that. It's anyone who has a platform is just hate watching. Like, this movie got announced. Why? I saw the trailer. My God, I saw trailer number two. Oh, can you believe this? They're destroying it. It doesn't even matter why you, the reason you're hating it. You're just actively putting out contact to be like, God damn it. It's like, it sounds like Archie Bunker, but without the comedy.
This is a YouTube problem, kind of a social media problem in general, where negativity provokes engagement. When you talk about something you love, which I don't know, maybe you should start a YouTube channel talking about movies that you love. I say you, because you get very energetic and animated and are very unafraid to spoil the entire movie. I think our Fuck It episode has been released before this one.
I was about to say that. Well, it made me think of like this. Hey, man, I just got happy. It's a good movie. Well, 300's a good movie, right?
And to be honest, for the good of humanity, I would rather watch more YouTubers like you get happy. Make content where you just get unfiltered and happy about something you love. But I think right now the thing that gets more engagement is like someone talking about why a movie is bad. I think there is something addicting about, let's say there is like a bad movie. And I fall victim to this too. If there's a movie that came out and it's like that one movie that for the year that gets critically panned. Sometimes it's like, I want to like read reviews or watch reviews, and I'm looking for that one funny quote that kind of describes and disparages the movie in a nutshell. And I think a lot of movie critics get into that habit too, where it's like, if there's something they hate, they want to try to outwit each other of like, what is like the best, like...
It's Morbin time. So, but no, here's the thing, and you're saying it right, because it's wit, but wit is funny. There's nothing witty about just hate watching.
Yeah. It's like, maybe that's what for a lot of those people go into, but then it's just like, I want to feel miserable. And then a lot of these people have like Critical Drinker, for example, they peddle like terrible politics and they actually accumulate, like Critical Drinker's been a guest on like, has been interviewed by Ben Shapiro and has been Daily Wire shit.
They hate watch too.
Like, yeah, exactly. Well, so, I mean, I don't know how much we want to get into, or give us the launch code. So we will get into the political angle of that, of like, yeah, there is something inherent about conservatism that is built on constant misery. You have to feel miserable. You have to feel like people are out to ruin your life or ruin the things you love constantly.
But here's the thing, okay, hold on. When it comes to like, okay, let's just take the best example right now. The remake of The Little Mermaid. You saw the trailer for it, and let's say you're like, oh, that is not my thing. I'm just going to go rewatch the original, because that was my thing.
Yes.
So it's not ruining it if the original still exists. You can't ruin something when you have the original painting. Mm-hmm. Someone remade the painting. Regardless of why they remade it, doesn't matter if they recast it for a different color, different sex, different time period, different genre, like they turned Little Mermaid into a noir film, for example. I'm just throwing it out there. I watched the trailer. I'm not going to waste my time on that. I'm going to rewatch the one that I liked and have a good time. Because it's like, because when you're saying that, they all say it's like they're ruining your childhood, they're ruining your legacy, what you grew up on, they're ruining Disney. It's like, well, no, because on Disney Plus, the original Little Mermaid's still on there. The original Aladdin, the original Snow White, for example. That's a big thing. It's just, that's what hate watching is. You can't ruin an IP because it's an IP.
The thing that I found most insidious about the marketing for Little Mermaid, and I'm sure I haven't seen that remake. I hear who was the actress? Halle Bailey, I think is her name. I hear she's talented and a good singer, so good for her. What I found insidious is that some of the marketing some of the PR output from Disney seemed to anticipate the racist response. It's like, well, because it's like every time they remake something, it's like, okay, we're going to cast like a person of color in a role that was originally depicted as a white person.
Yeah.
You are going to get those people that are like, well, first of all, that very few of them are honest about the fact that they just don't want to see a black person in that role. I would actually respect them if they were more honest about that. But a lot of them, they see that and they go, oh, this is some sort of political... It's like that joke, like, there's a joke that there are two races. There's white, and then there's political. There's two genders. There's male, and then there's political. There, the two sexualities are straight, heterosexual, and political. So if it deviates from those, it's political, and a lot of it is just dishonest conservative hand-wringing that make human filth pieces like Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and those types a bunch of money because that's what they engage with. But the thing I hated about what how Disney handled this, I noticed that like a lot of Disney's platforms and social media, they made like press releases like within 12 hours of releasing the first trailer for that movie about like, you know, we're opposed to racism and we're not gonna let the, you know, these racist comments about the movie get us down. And I'm like, oh shit, so Disney, but what I saw was Disney was adding that on. Because it's like, what does that movie have? It's just the same thing you saw, it's just that there's real people on screen now. And it costs way more money. So it's like they have nothing else but to just pretend, hey, look how progressive we are. This is all we have going for us with this movie. And I'm like, that's also a problem. And I'm like, I'm not saying that was the intention for casting the actress, but I'm...
How they handled it is what you're saying.
It's how they handled it the marketing handled the finished movie, yes.
That's what I'm saying about how it's... There's no... I don't think it's good for the health of the person putting out the hate-watching content and anyone watching it, because one, you cannot ruin a legacy character or an IP because you still have it. Have the... For example, there's two examples for it. I'll do the first one. The Godfather, part one, part two, part three. My joke is, there's only two parts.
There's only two parts.
The third one is such a garbage piece of crap. Mm-hmm. But you know what I did after I watched it the first time? You want to know something?
You never watched it again?
I just told people when they asked about it, hey, oh, isn't there three parts? There's just two. Don't worry about it. Oh, I never rewatched it. I'll rewatch it with you.
Yeah,
that's a different reason because who you and are as friends and movie lovers, but and then after I watched the third one, to help myself out the next day, I just watched the first one again, and in my head I ignored that the third one ever existed because the third one counts. It came out so many years after the second one that it's like how you do these remakes of live action. It counts in that stratosphere of, don't need to think about that. I got part one and two.
Yeah,
it makes me happy. And after part two ends, you know what I do? That's a franchise right there. Yeah, move on.
That's a great duality.
A second one, because you and I, being who we are too, and it's a controversial thing right now, I guess, because to stay on topic, recently, I guess, the thing with Kathleen Kennedy and Star Wars, whether she's quitting or not, and, you know, Star Wars is finally saved, how people are saying that. Guess what we did when we watched the quote-unquote new trilogy, episode 7.
7, 8, 9.
So guess what we did? I'm going to just go rewatch the ones that made me happy. Or, hey, Rogue One was great. That's all we need. That's all we need after the first six. After, right, no, but, you know what I mean? How we acted towards it.
I did that with, I was thinking, like, when The Acolyte came out.
That's a good, okay, there you go.
That was one that got, like...
destroyed.
I mean, some people liked it. My thought was, the first two episodes, I thought, I'm bored. I'm just gonna go watch an episode of Star Trek now. And I never came back to it. And I guess a lot of people thought that because Disney Plus canceled the show. So I was like, okay, I didn't miss anything.
Were you foaming at the mouth on YouTube afterward?
No. And I didn't want to watch other people foaming at the mouth because I was so bored. I'm trying to think right now because I feel like what would be fun for us. What is like the last thing we like hate watched? And for me, I
can tell you what it was. I meant there might have been one afterwards. You go first. I know it's for sure one.
For me, it was, I think the last thing I hate watched, and the only reason, okay, well, that's weird. I was going to probably watch this again anyway because it was Star Trek related, but I'm a completionist, but I have no desire to watch it again.
You haven't realized, my best friend here is a Trekkie.
If you didn't know, last January, Paramount Police shoved out Section 31 starring Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that.
God, I don't... Do I even want to explain the premise?
How about this?
So it's like So in Star Trek, the Federation has, like, a deep state CIA-type program called Section 31, which, when it was introduced on Deep Space Nine, it was introduced as, like... Because Deep Space Nine was the darker Star Trek show at the time, And it was this idea of like, oh, the Federation has this dark element, this otherwise utopian, it has this dark element that does the dirty work, that
deep state,
it does all the dirty stuff that the Federation can disavow, and it's autonomous and say like, that wasn't us. It was introduced with the idea that actually Section 31 is a bad thing. But something recent Star Trek, since Discovery came out and it was back on television, or rather streaming, they started to like soften the image of Section 31 because, I don't know, Alex Kurtzman thinks it's a good vehicle for like spy adventure shit in space. Because Michelle Yeoh, the reason why she's in it is because she was a character on Discovery. By the end of her arc, she was part of Section 31 and they wanted to make a spinoff about her.
Right.
And at first it was going to be a TV show. But then for some reason, I don't know, maybe because they actually paid attention to fan reaction, they're like, people don't want this. So they decided, well, we'll just make like a direct-to-streaming movie. Yeah. A 90-minute movie, test the waters, see how people like it. It was very, the reaction was very negative. I watched it. The only reason, what got me to watch it was I was with a few of my Star Trek costume club buddies and we all got together at this apartment to watch it. A few of us had seen it before. Nobody liked it. Nobody liked the movie. I figured I wasn't going to like it. And that was like my last genuine hate watch. But I'm not going to watch it again. I'm just glad that I saw it, and I hope they don't make anything else like it. It's just, it was an educational experience. I'm never going to watch it again.
Now, Travis, did it ruin Star Trek for you? Did it ruin your legacy characters?
I mean, the only legacy character in there was, I guess, other than the Michelle Yeoh character, which, whatever. I mean, what they had like a younger version of Rachel Garrett, who was the captain of the Enterprise C, and you only saw her in one episode of TNG, which I'm actually not sure how that works, because I'm like, wait a second, on TNG, was she like 80 years old or something? I mean, granted, they age slower in Star Trek, because medical techniques have gotten better, but I'm like, was she that fucking old? What?
So did it ruin it for you, Star Trek? Are you going to howl at the sky?
See, the thing about that was that it's like the first time I've watched a piece of Star Trek media that where I can earnestly say everyone uses this like flippantly with every new Star Trek thing nowadays. But for me, if that was like, this is not Star Trek. Like, even just on a surface level, if you showed like screenshots from it, there's nothing about it that says, oh, that looks like Star Trek.
Right.
No, it was like, I mean, my friend compared it to like Mission Impossible. I think they were trying to go for a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe. I think that's an insult to either of those things. It was just action, poorly directed, poorly staged action slop. The entire experience felt like I was watching somebody either get like a tax break or... It's like, this is either a tax break for Paramount or sunken cost fallacy. Like, that's just because I knew the behind the scenes story. Like, this was in development for years.
Yeah.
Somebody at Paramount. My theory is that I think the project was dead because sometimes that happens. You develop a TV show and it doesn't go well and you move on to something else. I think the project was dead. And then after Michelle Yeoh won her Oscar, somebody at Paramount, and this might have been like when Paramount was like reshuffling their executive because they had just rebranded and whatever. Somebody at Paramount was like, wait, we were going to make a Star Trek show with her? How did we fuck this up? How did you let this go? Well, we got to do something. So I think it was like a case of sunken cost fallacy of like, we have this big time famous actress we could have put on the posters. Academy Award winner Michelle Yeoh is in our Star Trek thing.
So again,
I'm done talking about Section 31.
Like I said, so again, did it ruin Star Trek for you? Are you still watching your Star Trek though?
I'm still watching my Star Trek. I'm still looking forward to Strange New Worlds, and
it didn't ruin anything. It just was like, okay, it happened.
No, I'll just go back. Yeah, and it's like I like the other new stuff they put out.
So you just know like this, hey, I have my other things. That's what it is. That's what
I got my other things.
For me, the hate watching I last did actually, I just realized what it was. Did you know that there was an Uncharted movie with Tom Holland?
Yes, I remember that.
All right.
It looked like shit.
Oh yes, you are correct. Here's the thing. Did you know that I played all four Uncharted games and like a big fan of Uncharted?
You're a big Naughty Dog fan.
I'm a big Naughty Dog fan. I love Uncharted. Played the first three on the PS3. played the fourth one on the PS4, and I got emotional at the end of the fourth one, not gonna lie. It was a very, like, wow ending. I already knew from the trailer, oh, yeah, this is not Uncharted. And guess what? Didn't see it in theaters, didn't buy it on Blu-ray, didn't watch it when it came out here or there or there. Finally, at one point, I think it was on FX about a couple months ago, I think it was, or Showtime. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm not doing anything right now.
Just check that off the list.
I'm bored. I got a beer in my hand. My wife's with both kids. My dad's taking a nap. And I was like, you know what? Why not? Changed it. Watched it. Watched it for 10 minutes and went like this. I saved so much money. And then I went back to watching anything else.
Oh, you only watched 10 minutes and that was it?
That's all I needed.
That's good.
And because it was... The Uncharted movie is described as an origin movie to the whole Nathan Drake legacy.
Yeah.
Problem is, in Uncharted 3, there's already an origin level, so you already know it. So in my head, I'm just like, but we just played it out. All right, whatever. You know what? Tom Holland, we all know, a great actor. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Wahlberg does good and bad movies, and the good movies are amazing. Just a fun, he's fun to watch. Deepwater Horizon, Lone Survivor, Patriots Day, those are one of our favorites, yeah. You and I love. I'm watching it, I'm just like this. Well, they're doing the stunts. And I think someone just thought that Uncharted was all about parkour. And I watched it. I said, what are you watching? Uncharted movie. Huh, what do you think? Oh, it's crap. Why are you watching it? Well, can't make an opinion on something until you watch it. Okay, you're going to keep watching it? No, isn't there a basketball or soccer game on right now? It's like something on? Or like, he's like, no. I'm like, all right, Thomas, you want to watch Bluey? All right, we'll watch Bluey.
I mean, you're not a paid critic, so you don't, you technically have no obligation to finish it. All you had to say was... I watched 10 minutes and I was done.
Let's say I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
If I'm paid, that's awesome. I'm getting paid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to say this. Oh, I got paid to do jack shit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I didn't go into a rant. I didn't call you like I always do when I watch a movie that's good or bad. Because remember, I called you for Jurassic World Dominion. Fallen Kingdom. Remember when I texted you crazily during Fallen Kingdom?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I ridiculously texted you. But the thing was, that's all I did. I didn't create content on YouTube. I didn't go on a channel. I didn't go on Twitter. I was just like this. Yeah, this is a shit film. Gonna go watch something else.
Do you think we'll ever use this podcast to talk about, if we ever go see a movie that's bad?
Yeah, maybe once we will. Here's the problem.
Maybe we'll do a hate watch episode.
Here's the problem, though. When we do this, when the time I have... to go out to the theaters, I use for this podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
But we can definitely talk about movies I've seen when on streaming, because that's the time I have. And also, too, oh, my God, I want to see The Brutalist. I will never have time to go see it in theater, so when it comes out on streaming, I want to watch the shit out of that. But that's the thing. Okay, go to the Oscars, because that was a stupidly big, God, the Oscars are just trash right now.
I didn't watch the Oscars. I was on a date.
My mom watched a couple of it, so I overheard it. But the thing is, talking about hate watching, people hate watch the Oscars and made YouTube content about it. It's like, really? The Oscars have changed. Dude, the Oscars were never a thing back then. It was just if you watched it or you did it. It's like, oh my God, they ruined the NFL, Hall of Fame Awards. That people who watch that, people...
Taylor Swift is ruining my football.
It's like they went out and hate watched on the Oscars. It's like this. Didn't you have other things to do? Okay, I used to be, you know what? I used to watch the Oscars a lot growing up in high school and middle school. Do you want to know why I stopped?
Mm-hmm.
I had work. Like, I had to go to a job.
Yeah.
Then I had a relationship, have kids. Or when I come home and it's like 5 o'clock, it's like the Oscars are on, or I can crack a beer and play a video game. You know what I mean? Because I just got from work. Or because, I'm a grown adult male, for example. I could watch the Oscars or have sex with my wife. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? I'm not going to go hate watch something and ruin my heart.
So we talk about movies or in this case a TV special with the Oscars. What about a TV show? Have you ever watched a whole season of a television show you didn't like?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. And I know I did. And I remember watching it as being like, why did I waste my whole time watching this? All right, well.
So you're not going to talk about The Last of Us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
God damn it.
Oh my God. There you go. See, but doesn't that prove my point? Doesn't that prove my point? I forgot about it. I didn't hold on to it. I'm not screaming at the sky.
I call bullshit on the fact that you do not hold on to that. No, we've talked about that show many times.
Look how I reacted of like, oh, that's right. Like, you get what I mean though? Like, I'm not upset. I think it's
So wait, so you're not gonna watch the new season?
I will watch it with you.
Okay.
Because you're my best friend. That's okay. A difference. Remember, I watched. Like Justice League, and Dark and the Batman versus Superman. Mm-hmm. It was only because with you. The trailers were crap.
Except you're the only one hate watching because I actually like the show. I like the show so much better than you do.
The problem with The Last of Us, and I'm gonna say this quickly because now we're getting squirrely again, Travis. I won't respond. I just think it's the worst adaptation ever made of something from a previous IP into a new medium, like a book to a movie or a video game to a movie. I think this is the worst adaptation I've ever watched. I watched all, was it six or
nine,
eight?
Nine.
I watched all nine episodes. First off, I was hoping because I'm a Naughty Dog fan.
Yeah.
I love the first part one and part two of The Last of Us. I think they're great, phenomenal games. Great storytelling. It's like you're playing a movie. I think they did. Except the world. The way the TV show did the world building, awesome. The game. Okay, when you're playing a zombie type game, you can take so much damage from a zombie, but in a movie, it's like, well, you get bit or scratched once, you're dead. So in the show, they made sure the characters never got touched. That was genius.
Yeah.
The way they did the virus. Genius. The way the world was set up. Genius. I thought it was great. They acted like, well, in a real life situation, fighting these monsters would be an instant death, so we're barely going to have them interact with the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes sense to me. I snuck around a lot anyway when I played the grounded difficulty.
Yeah.
It's the characters they got wrong. And I watched the whole thing, and yes, I was venomous about it all with you the whole time, but this proves my point about hate watching. I'm not going like, you know, oh, God damn it, season two's coming out, and I'm like this. Okay, Travis, I'll watch it.
Except to me.
Yeah, no, you love it. I'm glad you love it, because I thought it was a piece of garbage trash. I thought the casting was great.
Yeah.
I thought everything else they did was shit. Casting in the world was awesome. The world building, the casting, the sets, the props, everyone, how they were acting. It's just the dialogue and what they did to the characters. But other than that, though, didn't go on a hate watching binge. Didn't get upset because they made, you know, Ellie this badass feminism bullshit. I just didn't care.
All I can say is that I've watched the first season twice. First time I liked it, and then that got me to play the game. I played the game. I still
got to. You got time. You got time before season two.
I played through part one, and I really enjoyed playing part one.
Oh.
And then I rewatched the first season, and I liked the show even more.
Thank you for bringing this up, though, because we're talking about hate watching. People do comments about YouTube videos and Twitter stuff about hate playing games. Remember the big thing after Last of Us Part 2 came out, the video game, and how everyone was just up in arms about this one character because she's built like an ox? And now guess what? Spoiler alert to all you fucking people. A main character dies right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I won't be mean. I won't say who because it's kind of cool what happens. I liked it. But anyway, when I played the game and during that first level when one of the main characters dies, I'm like this. Nice.
Nice.
I thought it was great. Because... Like I knew what the concept of the first game was. I'm like, yeah, you reap what you sow, motherfucker. This is great. I didn't care. I was more focused on playing Ellie anyway. Mm-hmm. I like her combat better. But that's why now this whole thing, like, oh, God, no, they ruined my character. And now it's all about these girls. And I'm like, dude, calm down. It's just a video game. You could have stopped playing. You know what you could have done? Here's a crazy concept. After a video game, you play for the first level and you get to a point that pisses you and blows you up to hell and pisses you off.
Return it, and you'll most likely get all your money back.
Yep. Especially if there's like a store that sells used games.
No. From where you bought it from.
Oh,
because
well,
remember, return policies have changed over the years in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You can return it back and get your full monies back.
Yep.
You could lie about why you're returning it, whether it's unopened or not.
Because
mm-hmm. you'll just get store credit for the full amount. If at minimum you get store credit for the full amount, and you can go buy something else.
Yeah.
So, don't BS me. That it ruined everything when there's a way to fix it. Last of Us Part, you know, the first season. Watched it. not a fan. I watched the whole thing, and I moved on. Whenever Travis brings up, yeah, I tell him no, it's a piece of garbage shit. But I've been calmer about it because I'm an adult. I never made content over it. I never yelled at the sky. I never had it to be get on a pedestal and on a platform and say, it's just not healthy for your heart. I will watch part two with you because you're my best friend, and I will tell you everything wrong about it, or maybe everything right, because who knows? Who knows? But getting back to it, we got squirrely again, folks. Sorry.
Well, this spawned because I asked you, like, a TV show that you hate watched all the way through. Because I've had that experience a few times where...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what you asked. Yeah,
and that was something you went into with high hopes, and you were disappointed.
Yes.
But you stuck with it to the end because you just had that feeling of like, was it like your heart set that this was not good, but you kind of wanted to see what they were going to do, like where it was going?
My whole aspect, very few times actually I do that where my heart's set and hopeful, like after I get my first tasting of ill or disgusting or bad. My thing is you can never fully give an opinion on something unless you finish something.
Yeah.
So a book, like, okay, Catcher in the Rye. I don't understand how that got John Lennon killed, but I think it's a great book. Mm-hmm. I read it to figure it out. Guess what? I had a good read. That was it. Or Last of Us, the TV show. First episode, I already knew they were messing. To me, it was just a piece of garbage crap.
Yeah.
Watched the whole thing, and guess what? You know what came out of it? Got to talk to my best friend almost every day about it. And the whole concept to me was, I just got to talk to you every day about anything. So to me, I'm like, okay, just talk to my friend. And I'll say this. The actors are in there all great. Nick Offerman's amazing.
Yeah.
The way they did the character, Bill, horrible in the show. But, hey, Nick Offerman's great, no matter what. I love, again, just the world building and the way they did the zombies. That cool part where, like, you know, the hole in the ground where all the infected come out, that was cool. And everyone's getting slaughtered. That was cool. After that, I was just like this. Is it over yet? Is it over yet? Is it over yet? But I watched all 9 episodes, 9 hours plus. I just have that whole opinion. My whole concept of things is you cannot give a critique or an opinion until you fully watched it, fully read it, fully played it. I've played a lot of bad video games. But I know that because I finished it all the way through, because that's the point. Because it's like you just can't do that until you do it all the way through. No matter how bad it is in the first 10 minutes, it doesn't matter. That's why I watched it.
I mean, I have this, when it comes to television, I have this rule that if the first 2 episodes are not engaging with me, if I feel like watching them is a chore, I don't watch the rest of it. And I'll just tell people, like, my word on it is I couldn't get past the first 2 episodes. But there are some shows where I have watched the full season, even after, like, I got to a point where I realized the show sucks. Sometimes I did it more than one. I did that with the Halo show.
You poor bastard. I knew from the trailer not to watch it. I knew from the trailer.
Yeah, poor bastard is a very apt statement, because I was watching it and I was like, okay, I know they're going to do something different with this. And I just thought, like, okay, well, you know, the game doesn't have a lot of, there's not a lot of material in the game that could, like, you could do, like,
oh, to transfer
a
over
scrolling
to
a, television, because it's a first-person shooter, and the main character doesn't even talk, so you gotta do something. But as I kept watching it, and then I watched the second season, because I know they changed the showrunners,
and it was the Fall of Reach, so you kind of like, Fall of Reach was the best video game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it, folks. Reach is the best one.
It was canceled after 2 seasons, and it wasn't until the end of season 2 when they finally got to the titular thing.
It took that long to
get to... It took 16 episodes for them to finally get to fucking Halo. You don't even see Halo except in, like, a vision sequence until episode 6. At least, like, you know where the first Halo game took place? The game that was called Halo or Halo Combat Evolved? Fucking Halo! But
it's installation, like, 4-3, whatever, 3-4-3.
No, 3-4-3 was Guilty Spark.
That's right. Installation. Is it Installation 4, right?
I think so. Yeah, it was Installation 04.
That's hilarious.
But it wasn't until... It took me so much longer to realize that this show sucked than I should have. But, you know, it finally clicked to me, like, oh, they're trying to do. First of all, this doesn't have the spirit of discovery and horror and mystery that Halo does, that all the Halo games do. It completely missed out. And actually, the more I think about it, I realize I think the show was ripping off Game of Thrones. Because you had all these characters from different, like, factions or institutions, and they all had their own agendas. That's why you had, that's why, like, the Covenant had, like, a human helping them out. A blonde lady human that was working with the bad guys or working against the interests of our main characters. It just occurred to me, she's the show's Daenerys Targaryen. That was my last hate watch.
And did you go off and make multiple YouTube comment videos and shout the sky with venom and froth? And
no, there's enough people doing that.
Did they ruin Halo for you, or did you just go back and play the games for fun?
I went back and played the games for fun. Actually, it was because I went back to play the games for fun, it finally clicked on me why the show wasn't working as a Halo adaptation. And then
it's not that hard to do Halo, if you think about it.
I've had a few other hate watches. The second season of Star Trek Picard was like a genuine hate watch experience.
Oh, yeah.
Really, it was so bad. It was laughably bad, where you could feel like somebody thought they were being ambitious and cool, and they were just doing the stupidest shit ever.
You know what I think now that we're talking about it more? I think when it comes to hate watching, it's a, and I know there's multiple layers to it, like you said, the political part of it, and then other things of just upset people at the changing of the world, and now they're attacking my childhood, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I think also too why people make these unhealthy, and I'm saying it's unhealthy because it doesn't do good for anyone on YouTube, these hate watching critique YouTube videos. It's because I suffered, so you must suffer with me. Like, we need to suffer together. I'm so upset that this happened to me, and I need to get it out. It's like this. I don't know. You could just go drink a beer and go to bed.
That sounds like the bedrock of conservatism, actually. I suffered, therefore everyone must suffer with me or suffer worse than me.
I think it's just the bedrock of just stupidity.
Which is why, like, you notice, like, you mentioned, like, Critical Drinker, and then Ben Shapiro makes, like, Hate Watch.
Which makes no sense to me, because you know why with Critical Drinker?
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of these hate watching things, but there's a couple moments where he does, there's two, besides the hate watching, there's two things that he does that is kind of cool for a YouTuber. He has these recurring segments. It's called Production Hell, where he just talks about a movie that we all know. It's like, hey, did you know what it was like behind the scenes? It's like, wow, that's crazy. That movie actually succeeded with all of that going on? Hey, I learned a little history. That's awesome. Like, that moment, it's like, okay, like the Predator. He talks about the production. Yeah. We all know, okay, the Predator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, was a complete nightmare to make. And it was cool to learn more about it, where it's like, holy crap, like diarrhea every day?
Makes you wonder if, like...
But, like, why not do that?
If he went into it with good intentions...
You mean,
but
like...
But then... And then he realized the money was being, like, more racist and sexist and...
Mean.
But
it's like, well, if the money isn't that, like, dude, is it worth it as a career? Because that's your heart health. Like, your cholesterol, your blood level going up.
What else is he gonna do? Is he going to drop everything and go work at Walmart?
Gained him more fame by being just hate watching?
I mean, this is a I've heard this is like a problem with certain YouTubers where they kind of get into, especially ones that thrive off of negative content, where sometimes they feel like they have to keep making negative content and to make money, to make a living, to pay their fucking rent. And they realize
they're in a box.
They're in a box and they don't know how to get out of it, because when they try to make content that makes them feel good, it doesn't get as many clicks.
And what sucks too, because there's actually a way to, like, okay, when it comes to reviewing a film, let's say that's your YouTube thing you're reviewing and it's something you didn't like, there's a way to go about it that's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Johns is a YouTube...
Oh, I used to watch Jeremy Johns when I was a kid.
But he does it still well when he says something like this. He's like, yeah, I saw it. Let's just get this over with. Yeah, no, it was dog shit, but I saw it. And that's, he moves on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like this, can you believe they did this and this? He's just like, yeah, no, I went into this and I watched it and I was like, okay, just kept going and I was just hearing him. I'm like, all right, and I need to drink a little bit more and I'm okay. This was bad. 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 All right, that's it, folks. Tell me what you thought, or if you saw something else, because I'm just
going to go. Have you seen it? What did you think about it?
And I'm just going to go, and he's like this, and I'm just going to go record something else now. But that's how you negatively critique a film that is either justifiably bad or in your opinion bad. You just say, look, this is why it was bad. I know that's not as theatrical, and it's not as bringing of the clip bait of like, can you believe? But that's the way you go about negative critiques and reviews. Like when Cecil and Ebert did it.
Yeah.
There's a professionality of just... Siskel and Ebert. When the way they about a movie they didn't like, whether one of them liked it or they both didn't like it, there's a professionalism in going about it because guess what? At the end of the day, it is just a fucking film. There are so many others. And if this remake pissed you off so much... go back and just rewatch the original, because that's what you do.
I want to talk about, because I realize all that we've talked about for the hate watching, it's all like adaptations of big IPs. Have you ever hate watched something that was, original or at least like didn't have a big built-in
audience? I didn't like All Dogs Go to Heaven. That was kind of stupid.
Okay.
And when I was a kid, I just watched them like this. Well, popping in Bug's Life or Ferngully now. What was it? I know I was a kid, so maybe that doesn't count, but as an adult. Okay, something original as an adult that I watched that I didn't like.
That you stuck with.
Oh, stuck with. God damn it. Because it's streaming, I changed. Okay, unfortunately, I don't stick with it, because I just changed
something
else.
Which is the better thing to do.
Which is, okay, but I'll,
this is the hate watching.
I didn't go into it hate watching, but I wasn't enjoying it throughout watching the whole thing. Oh, God. What was it that me and my wife watched that I ended up not liking and we just made fun of it and then we went to bed? No, sorry. Because I'm a grown adult, we had fun in bed, then went to bed. Because that's what you're doing as an adult. When you experience something that wasted your time, you're like this, well, I'm going to go have some fun and then I'm going to sleep. Because that's what an adult does. Oh, God damn it. What was it, too? I think it was a rom-com that we just found out that was just dumb. And then we just moved on. And I forget what rom-com it was, because here's the thing. The only thing I think about that I started watching that I didn't like and I just changed it was I tried to, only because I really like Andrew Garfield, him and Florence Pugh did this love.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Did this, not a rom-com, but this
romance movie
with like heartfelt and stuff. I think it was called like The Time Is Sometime, Something With Time. And I'm trying to sit down and watch it and I'm like, okay, cool, cool. And then I just felt like, It's not hooking me.
Yeah.
Guess what? Harley Quinn's on. Yeah. That was it. But that's what you do if you don't like something. And I guess maybe it's because they make a living off us. They have to. But it's like those jobs that you end up getting a heart attack at. It's like, dude, you're going to get a heart attack doing this. Like, if you're hate watching, maybe just don't do it now or find a way to do it healthier, because just the clickbait, just yelling at the sky, it's like, that sucks. It must suck being you. It must be, you know what it is? That's what I think. It's just like, must be really hard being you, because I would just be not watching it. If I knew the trailer was bad, I'm not going to go into it further.
I have an original. Yes.
Sorry, I don't know why I can't think of an original one.
It was a 10-episode season of television as a TV show that was canceled after one season, but they aired the entire 10-episode season. It came out in 2018. On NBC, and this show sits at the mountaintop of like shitty TV. What was it? You remember when NBC had a show called Rise?
Oh yeah. Oh, ha! Because it was based on us, what we did in high school.
It was about drama kids. I'm surprised you remember by the title, because already that title should have been a red flag, because it's like, it's so vague. Like, it's called Rise. What's rising? What is rising? So already that was like a giant red flag of like, oh, NBC did not have confidence in this show. I have a feeling that this show is not going to have confidence in itself. And when I watched it, it was from Jason Kadams, who was the showrunner of Friday Night Lights, a great show. But he did the show. But he was involved in the show, not the movie. I was so excited for the show too, because we lived it. We were drama kids, and I was like, oh yeah. And I always wanted someone in kind of a post Glee era. I wanted someone to do what is like the realistic, more grounded version of what we did in high school, and all the literal drama that we experience. I mean, dear God, your class, your senior year cohort with all their soap opera dramas that they had of, like, who was dating who and sleeping with whatever. I'm like, that's a show! And they
don't forget drug use.
And drug use. Oh, my God. And
oh, like, and actual backstabbing.
And
there's a lot, actually. Like, yeah, no, it was stupid.
Your cohort was terrible. My cohort was really nice.
You know what's funny? The cohorts before me had a little drama, but it was like, you deal with it. My year, it's like, God, we're a bunch of Your year, it's like this. Well, I wanted to do Anne Frank.
Yeah, your class of 13 was just, you guys are a wild bunch. Class of 14, we were
you got
much
together. I'm so mad
together.
You got to do Anne Frank, because you know what? Okay, we're going off topic. And you know what? Here's the thing, people. Here's the thing. We are going to one day actually talk about our time in drama together for me and Travis, because that was a big part of our lives. My senior year, we were supposed to do Motherfucking the Crucible. And I was gung-ho on that. And then it was something else. And I don't care about what came out of that show. I wanted to do The Crucible. Mm-hmm. And then this motherfucker, hey, come see a play of me. Yeah, cool, I'll catch it. What are you going to do? Anne Frank? I'm like, well, you can go to hell. Because that sounds amazing. I wanted to do The Crucible. I didn't get to do The Crucible. You got to do Anne Frank. And no, I don't care about the hardware we won for that show, by the way, what we did, what we actually did in my senior year, the spring play. I don't care about the hardware.
Yeah.
The hardware went nothing. You know, I almost fell off a ladder, by the way.
Yes, I remember. Anyway, okay, somebody, fine. So...
They did the show Rise.
They did the show Rise. It was based on a book, well, inspired. It was using the license of a book. Let me rephrase that. And it was a book called Drama High, and it was about an actual, like, it was like a biography about a high school theater teacher. And even though it wasn't that story and it wasn't that character, but they were using that license, I guess, to convince NBC that, oh no, this is not original, don't get scared. I was so excited to watch that, and it was a giant piece of shit. Granted, it's been 6 years since that show aired, and I haven't seen it since it aired, but I did watch the entire season, even though I had already gotten to the point where I realized this show sucks.
I remember that one episode you told me where you just lost it with the whole, like, actual legalness of copyright laws. And
oh, Jesus Christ.
Because we went through that kind of...
Oh, yeah, because... Okay, so, like, yeah, because the plot of that show revolved around a... It was a Josh Radnor from...
How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother. He was the star.
The mascot
and
of the show.
And I gotta say, oh, boy, there's a lot of sassy things I can say. It is a show about a drama teacher that a guy who's going through a midlife crisis who decides to take over his school's drama department in a very douchebag fashion and ends up kind of ruining every people's lives and destroying the drama department, but as written by people that think he's like the Robin Williams character from Dead Poets Society.
What?
It is...
What? That's all...
It's like they write him like he's supposed to be the inspirational teacher. The show they're doing is the musical Spring Awakening, which is about like teenagers going through terrible adolescent things. It is so graphic and explicit that there is not a school version, and therefore high schools don't do it because it's inappropriate for
high schoolers.
Yeah, but oh, we're gonna do that show because yeah, we're not gonna do fucking Pirates of Penzance that. You know, maybe like your grandparents remember, and I'm like, okay, but does it have to be fucking Spring Awakening? You could do so many other more modern musicals. Why does it have to be Spring Awakening? It's like, well, you know, it's edgy and it's awakening. It's awakening something great in the kids. Just trust me on that. I have no proof. Just go with my vibes on that. And there is one episode where there was the one I bitched to you about, which yeah. Where the principal, it's like the week before the show, and the principal throws up his hands and is like, which first of all, I'm like, you're the principal. You could shut this down. Why haven't you shut this down?
Yeah.
You could just not have a show.
We know you can shut it down because we experienced that
so,
almost.
So there's a lot of like, yeah, there's a lot of like,
stupidity.
Convenient incompetence in some of the more antagonist roles. But he's like, okay, I need you guys to like rewrite the script and take out all the bad stuff. And I was like, I was fucking livid because I'm like, wait a second. Because I was pretty close with both of my drama teachers.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know you have to get a license to do a show
you can't do a show unlicensed, otherwise the publisher will send you a cease and desist. So you have to buy a license, and that costs money, and you have to do the script as written. Unless you're, I don't know, maybe unless you're doing a public domain work like Shakespeare.
Well, I think what you're saying, because I remember what you're saying, because when it comes to doing that, the only thing you can change of the script is like, it's so, you can do some changes when it comes to that, but it's so micro-ness, it doesn't really count. Like, yeah. you, it's like, you know what I mean?
If you change anything, it's because it's like a spur of the moment. You have to ad-lib and you're live.
Yeah, that's it. That's
but
it,
you're
that's
not, it. You have to do the script as written, and if you fuck with it,
It's illegal.
They could come after you. Oh, God, I was so livid about that show. No, the thing I would say about that show is that the biggest damning verdict I can say, it is a television show that doesn't believe in its own premise. And that's how I felt. I felt like, because as I was saying, I feel like the stuff we went through in theater, in high school theater, that was enough material to make a show. Rise did not agree with that. And so it kept on creating artificial drama to heighten things, yeah. Like the Spring Awakening controversy bullshit. Or they had an old episode where they built the climax over the fact that over the football player's game, the football player that they cast in the show. And the climax was like, how's he going to do in his big game? And I'm like, this is a side story.
You know, we had a football player in our production at one point, too, a varsity linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it funnier. We had all this stuff happen to us.
I can, like I said, this is something I could go on and out, but it is the worst kind of television show, hell, worst kind of story, which is a story that doesn't believe in its own premise, that feels like it is deliberately missing out on what it has in front of them, but decides to do bullshit that ruin the grounded nature of that ruins the premise.
I love how we started off with like, hey, there's a trend on YouTube called hate watching, and it's just not healthy for people, and it should stop because there's no point to it. Remember how in drama we did this, and this show completely was like, hey, man, we lived through that. You're fucking with us.
I would dare you, try looking up videos of people. Like, there are all sorts of hate watch videos of film and television you can watch, but most of them are of adaptational crap. Adaptations of things that people already know. This show
was
it was technically, legally an adaptation, but there wasn't this giant fan built-in audience for the drama high biography that. And clearly there wasn't, because not enough people were watching the TV adaptation.
So what you're saying is you're like, you've noticed now with hate watching going further, it's all about hate watching adaptations of existing big name, well-known IPs. And it's like, if you're getting mad at this brand new remake, which it is, why can't you just ignore it and watch the original?
Yeah.
Because who cares who played
anything else?
No, but like, well, just specific of that, like, who cares who the next James Bond is? You have how many films?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares who the next Jack Sparrow is?
Yeah,
we have him. Who cares about? Okay, it recently came out, The Lion King 2, like, oh, the Mufasa
prequel thing.
There's
yeah.
a Lion King 2 movie out that you're good. So it's like, if you're hate watching more on something where there's no sense in hate watching it because it's not original, it's not unknown, it's something you're hate watching where you could just say, well, I got my original set, I'll just hang out with that.
Yeah.
Because there's no point. There's no point. Okay.
Yeah.
It'd be like this. It's like people who had a problem with the Watchmen TV show. You mm-hmm. got the movie and the comic book, so just watch that, you're fine.
The thing I find most disingenuous about the people that do that hate watch regularly for YouTube is because I know they're just doing it for money. But to me,
that's what's sad too. It's
like, true hate watching, like Rise is a great example of this for me, a great personal example. I watched the entire season, even though I knew it was bad. But the ways in which it was bad, it was still engaging with my emotions. Because I was so... And a lot of it was just being flabbergasted as to what they were doing wrong, how the depiction of everything was wrong, why they were focusing on the wrong thing. All sorts of things they were doing bad that that hit me on an emotional level to where that kept me watching it.
Right.
Where I was like, I just want to see where this train wreck is going to land, because it's fascinating. It was a fascinating experience for me to watch. Whereas The Acolyte didn't do that for me. I didn't think The Acolyte was a good show, but I was bored. I don't want to watch things that bore me. So that's why I stopped watching that show after 2 episodes. Rise did not bore me. Rise made me mad. It was a stimulating experience for me. That's the true hate watching. That is pure hate watching. And like, the reason you should, the worst thing any movie or television show can be is boring. Because it's boring, you're not engaged, you look on your phone, or at best you're thinking, I want to watch something else. No, the best thing a movie can do is to engage your feelings, engage your heart. Even if it's bad, you're having a moment with it, and that is special. And that only happens so often. So the idea that these people, like Star Wars Theory or Critical Drinker or all these stupid-ass motherfuckers are doing YouTube, or doing videos on YouTube where every other video, every single video is, this sucks, I'm going to talk about it for an hour. This sucks, I'm going to talk about it for an hour. This sucks, I'm angry. This sucks, I'm angry. Are you really having that moment over and over again? Bullshit. Bullshit. That does not happen with every single thing you watch.
Is it acting? No. Is it money? It's for the money.
It's just playing for cameras. It's playing for clicks. And I'm like, no. You are not. I refuse to believe you are having an authentic hate watch.
You should have had a heart attack by now, damn it.
It's like a diamond in the rough, you know? Like, just because it's a bad movie doesn't mean it's a so good it's a bad movie. That's why The Room is so special. Because that movie is so ridiculous. In a way that not a lot of bad movies are. And actually, that movie is so special that you don't have to watch it as like a hate watch. Because you can actually have a positive experience watching it.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
You're telling me apart, Lisa. Don't your breasts have cancer? Remember when we purposely went in knowing that the Justice League movie, or the Josh Whedon cut of Justice League was like, this is going to be shit, let's go watch it. And we're like, but it's going to be fun shit. We bought t-shirts, we were having fun, and we sat down and watched it, and we're just like this. Oh, God, it's worse than we thought. And we're just like, ah! And then we got out of the theater. I just remember going like this, because for some reason, at the time, my girlfriend wanted to come along and be with my buddies and see what I like. I'm like, I warned her. And then I'm walking out of the theater, I'm like this, here it comes. Okay, we're never seeing a comic book movie again. This is stupid. And I'm just like this, babe, you got to understand, we purposely went to see this. You mean you knew it was going to be bad? Okay, we didn't know it was going to be this bad, but we went to see this poorly to laugh at it, and it kind of backfired on us, and now we just want to get in and out and cry. Well, comic book movies suck. And in my head, I'm like this. Give her 2 months and show her The Dark Knight. Give her 2 months and show her The Dark Knight. Give her two. You know what happened when I showed her The Dark Knight?
Did you turn around?
She got so emotional in every scene. Mm-hmm. So happy, so quiet. She was actually genuinely bummed out that the Batmobile got destroyed.
Oh.
Think about that. No.
Yeah.
Her first introduction to comic book movies was the Josh Whedon cut of Justice League. That was her first ever. And guess what? Don't worry, folks. I saved her. I showed her the Dark Knight trilogy. And guess what?
My thought walking out of Justice League was, I want to see Batman v Superman again.
You saw that with your sister, dude. And I was just like...
Because that movie, that was a proper hate watch. That was like...
Remember the three of us went laughing about it at Dominic's? We went to an Italian restaurant after that movie. Me, Travis, and his sister. And I drove. I remember that I drove. We went drive back. we drove from the Long Beach Town Center back to Cyprus.
We watched it at 4-Star.
Did we?
Yeah.
But we went to the 4-Star in Garden Grove, to the Dominic's in Cyprus. Amazing Italian food. And just laughed our asses off while eating the Italian food and how bad it was. And then I'm like, you know what? It really wasn't that bad because this happened. So hate watching is basically good hate watching. Good true hate watching is you're laughing about it in the end.
You're laughing about it in the end, and it
engages you.
And it gives you strong feelings. Isn't that what you want out of a piece of entertainment? Don't you want to have strong feelings about it? Don't you want to feel like you went through an experience? Even, and if it's a bad experience, it's an experience. All I want is a moment where you feel like your life has changed.
And on that note, folks, I'm going to try to get Travis to watch the Digimon movie one day.
Do I have to watch the show first to understand what the fuck is going on?
You know what? I'm going to say no, just so you can experience the fact that these teenage kids, the pre-teenage kids are trying to stop a nuclear holocaust. Because that's a good experience, because you know what that show had going for it too? 2000s rock songs. Remember the 2000s?
Wait, which?
No, 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 you never heard this one.
Okay.
You never heard this one. It has the fun equivalents of, you know, Smash Mouth, hey now, you're an all-star.
Okay.
It had this. It's called Here We Go by Jason Guichen. Hope I'm saying that right. Came out in 2000. And I don't know what copyright laws are. Travis may stop you right now. You might get a cutout, but I'm going to sing a little bit of it right now to end our show. Here we go. Oh, hey, what's up, super? Never stopping. Good night. Good evening. Good morning. We love you all.
Goodbye, everyone. God forbid this doesn't get ripped off of Spotify.